This morning's scripture reading will be from Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 through 15. Again, that's Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 through 15. Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Good morning. Again, I want to welcome everyone who is visiting with us today. We truly are grateful that you're here. And I know some of you are here with family, with dads, having a special time together. It's great to have our sons here today, to be able to worship together and to have a meal together this afternoon. My daughter flaked out. She didn't show up. I don't know. The boys always loved me more than Katie did, but she's in New Mexico with her boys, so hope to see them maybe next month. That'll be great. Have a little bit of a reunion, but it's great to be together today to worship together. And we do want to thank Jim again for leading us in our work day. I apologize. We took this picture at lunchtime, and I think about 12 or 13 people had to leave before we ate. I made sure I got there in time for lunch and stayed. But we really do appreciate the good group that showed up yesterday. It's amazing to see things shaping up over on the field over there, and seeing it go through its change. It's going to be a great place for us to use to the glory of God. And we do want to say again, Happy Father's Day. We're just so grateful for our dads. And you know, one of the things we say this every time we have holidays like this or special days is that in the church, every man is a brother, a father, an uncle. We're all in the family of God, and we have those kinds of relationships in the kingdom, regardless of what our biological families might be. I know one of the blessings we really enjoyed in moving to Kenya was that there's so many missionary families that moved away, of course, from their families, that everybody in the community there referred to one another as family members. Ellen and I became uncle and aunt to a whole host of children. Who are now in their 30s and 40s, and whenever we see them, it's Uncle Richard and Aunt Ellen, and our kids do the same with them. And our kids had grandparents in Kenya that were such a blessing to us. In the church, you really do have those kinds of intimate relationships, and we're thankful for all of the men in our family and the blessing that you are in the church. And we're going to kind of focus a little on that today, starting off with some quotes. Some famous quotes from men, most of whom may have been fathers. I don't know. I didn't even think about that. But here, see if you can finish the quote. I'll start it off. Give me liberty or give me death. That's right. How about ask not? Yeah, we got it. Ask not what your country can do for you. President Kennedy's inaugural address. Boy, powerful words that come down. How about read my... No new taxes. You want to lose an election? There's your quote right there. How about, I have a dream. I have a dream. Mr. Gorbachev. Yeah, that's right. Tear down that wall. And how about, yes? Oh, come on. That's the most... Nobody's going to say it. Yes, we can. You know, oh, come on. You didn't have 8 years of that? Yes, we can. Come on. You failed the most recent one. I guess we're better at history than current events. That's all right. We'll go back in history. You'll get this one. The only thing we have to fear. Fear itself. FDR. Yes, in one of his inaugural addresses. Then some of these politicians come up with some really interesting quotes that they probably wish they hadn't made, such as, a zebra does not change its spots. You don't get that? Watch the Animal Channel about zebras. It depends on what the meaning of is. Or, they misunderstood me. Yep. That's right. They misunderstood me. I'm not worried about the deficit. It's big enough to take care of itself. It's from Ronald Reagan. And when the president does it, that means it is not illegal. Some of us remember that from the Nixon-Frost debates. This guy gets double mention. I probably should have put in Quail. He would have probably been a whole routine. During my service in the U.S. Congress, I took the initiative in creating the Internet. Remember that one? And finally, I've now been in 57 states. I think one left to go. If you remember that in the campaign. I'm sure he was just really, really tired when he said that. And then there are quotes of men in movies like, you know, go ahead, make my day, or I'll be back, or they call me Mr. Kibbs, one of my favorites. And, you know, I'll have to get this one right. They may take away our lives, but they can never take away our freedom. And in the movies, of course, then the guy, you know, the bad guy gets it, gets humiliated or, you know, defeated or whatever, usually. And in our movie life in America, that's kind of sometimes the definition of a man. You know, this big, strong, brawny kind of guy. And, though there's something to be said about men of courage and strength, the Bible has a little bit different view of men. And with the quote that we're looking at today, once you hear this quote, it has a way of staying with you. You never forget it. You already know it. You heard it read today, but you will never forget what Joshua said in Joshua 24. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is about strength, true strength, strength of commitment. This is what it is to be a man of God, to be a man who is committed to God, who is uncompromising, who is devoted, who's obedient to God, whose priorities are right, who is a righteous individual striving to live that kind of a life. When it comes to being men of God, it isn't being about being 6 feet four and strong biceps or a right hook, you know, that can knock somebody out or maybe even a mean sneer. That's not what it is to be a man of God. It's about commitment and faithfulness to the Lord God. Some heroes of the faith in the scripture were mighty warriors, men like David, of course, and Joshua. But when you go through the scriptures, there were also heroes of the faith who were poets, scribes, fishermen, accountants, civil servants, shepherds, and farmers. And they were young, and they were old, and they were rich, and they were poor. They were men from every walk of life, every background, and every experience. Being a man of God has nothing to do with the externals of life. It's about faithfulness and boldness and holiness and commitment and courage. And the great tragedy when you're reading the story of the Bible, reading through the Bible, one of the great tragedies is when men of God do not live up to that calling of being men of God. When we as men fail, things go horribly wrong, don't they? In our own lives and in the lives of our family, in the Old Testament, in the life of Israel, in the New Testament, in the life of the church. You know, when David sins, it brings not only a problem to his own relationship with God, but to his family and the nation itself. But on the other hand, the most stirring stories that just make us want to cheer at times when we read them, those great stories of faith and victory and courage and overcoming are the stories of those great men of faith in the Word of God. Men like Abraham and Joseph and Moses. And yes, David, who fell, but also was a man after God's own heart. Elijah and Nehemiah and Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego and John the Baptist and Peter and Paul and James and John. And yes, sisters, those other heroes like Sarah and Elizabeth and Hannah and Esther and Deborah and Mary Magdalene, righteous women like Ruth and Dorcas, who served God as well, heroes of our faith. We've been called by God as men to be men of faith and sisters to be women of faith as well. And as we reflect on that call today, there may be a part of that that's somewhat convicting to us because all of us realize we never completely measure up to the call of God in our life. But that's okay. What I mean is that if you feel convicted, that's all right. We ought to be convicted at times as we think about and refocus our lives on what it means to be called by God, to be faithful to Him. Real men have corrections in their life. We correct things. We turn back. We make mid-course corrections as we look at our life in light of Scripture. That's just what it is to be a human being, is to continually be undergoing that process. And today, we look at that call of God on our life to determine, have I been faithful to that call? Because God's call, in a sense, will humble us and will convict us. But at the same time, when we're reminded of what God has called us to be, especially brothers in Christ, what God has called us to be in our families, in the church, in the world, it has a way of inspiring us and challenging us and raising the bar and in a very positive way encouraging us to be what God has called us to be, to live into that potential that God has created in each one of us. That's why we became Christians in the first place, to respond to the high calling of God upon our lives, and the challenge that that is, and the thrill that it is, and the fulfillment that comes from living a life of purpose. So today, let's just consider the way that God calls us to be men and women, too, of faith and commitment. To be people of faith and commitment. Like the apostles who realized that nothing was more important than following Jesus, who left everything to follow Jesus, who made that call in their life to follow Jesus first. For us guys, you know, a lot of our identity comes from the things that we do. Comes from the work that we do and our jobs. And we often ask, you know, when you meet a guy for the first time, it's like, well, what do you do? We're more into what someone does, and that's just the natural part of things for us. But what we've got to watch out for is making sure that our whole identity isn't just wrapped up in what we do and in the job. We serve in our jobs as to the Lord, and we take our work very seriously, and we do it conscientiously. But we recognize that our work is to be viewed from God's perspective. And we are not to be so caught up in the things that we're doing in this world that we lose track of what our ultimate calling is, even with that job, which is to glorify God and to, if we're husbands and fathers, to be raising up our children and leading our families in the Lord. It's easy to get pulled away into those things that we do, whether it's our work or our hobbies and our interests, to the point that we struggle in our faith and our commitment to Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 16, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? And there's the high calling of discipleship. Jesus says, everything but me. Sacrifice everything but me. Deny yourself. Accept my lordship, submit to me, lose your life in me. And he said, yeah, you can go after those things of the world, and maybe you'll be one of those few guys who really does pile up and amass a lot of those things. But what are you doing? You're giving your soul away for those things that will come to nothing. Jesus challenges us to look at our lives today, to ask, am I truly denying myself? Am I making him the Lord of my life? Am I living a life of faith and commitment? Am I a man of courage and boldness and character? A man who will not compromise my faith in this world, regardless of how forces might try to intimidate me or to get me to compromise my faith or not to be all that I'm supposed to be morally, just to give in a little bit, to give up a little bit of what God's called me to be pressured by the world. Or to be men like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who said, you know what? You can throw us in the furnace. We are not bowing down to these gods. We are true to our Lord God and to our commitment. And the world can't pressure us. You can't scare us. You can't intimidate us. We are going to be men of faith, of courage and boldness, men of character. Men like Joseph who were, when faced with some temptations, we just run from them. Because perhaps we may not have the strength in that moment to overcome it. So we just run. We get away from it. We have nothing to do with it. As men of character, we've got to be certain that we're not allowing Satan to rule over us through any secret sin or nagging sin that just keeps coming after us. It seems to me that in all of our lives, there is something that just keeps coming up over and over again. And if Satan can find that in your life, you know how it is. I'm assuming that you do. It's from my life experience, at least. He just keeps pounding you in certain areas. He just keeps coming after you. And as men of God, we have got to say, I'm putting that to death. I'm not entertaining that anymore. I'm praying about that. I'm devoting myself with the help of God and His Spirit to overcome that, to be a man of character, a man of holiness, men and women of spiritual vision and discernment. I love that story in 2 Kings where Elisha is in this city and this whole army comes after him. The whole army of the Arameans come after him. And his servant says, I think it's time to leave town. We're surrounded. There's an army coming just for you, just for you. And Elisha prays, oh Lord, open his eyes that he can see. Do you know how the servant's eyes are opened up and he sees these chariots of fire just going around the army that's come after Elisha. And sure enough, God delivers Elisha from those enemy forces that have come against him. And men who have eyes for the spiritual realm. The constant issue we face in life is getting so sucked into the view of life that's in the world that we lose focus of what's most important in our life. Paul put it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is unseen is, for what is seen is temporary. What is unseen is eternal. To the Colossians, he said, since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. We're being told here by the Apostle Paul in these passages and in others that we need to look at our life from a spiritual perspective, from God's perspective. From the view of heaven, from the view of the cross, and what God is doing in the world. Everything in our life as men, we need to look at it from heaven's perspective. When we look at our job, how does God view the job that you have? What's the purpose of that job as you provide for your family? How does God expect you through that job to perhaps be a witness of Jesus to others who are in your surroundings? To be a living testimony of what it means to be a man of God in the way that you conduct yourself at work. To see even your work as an opportunity to minister to others and to speak on behalf of Jesus Christ as you have the opportunity to do so. As we look to our families, to look at the raising of our children and our family life, first of all, from the perspective of heaven. What's most important from God's point of view about our children and about their development and their growth and their training? And there may be so many things that our kids can get involved with that are good things. But from heaven's perspective, the most important thing is that the faith of Jesus Christ has been instilled into the hearts of our children, planted deep there, that it can take root and grow up as they mature in Christ and come into a faith of their own. That's the most important thing about raising up our families and our households and leading our families forward. And seeing that the relationship with God is more important than all the things of the world. All of those things that in and of themselves may be good and can be participated in to certain degrees, if we're not careful, they become the focus and the dominating factor in life. And we miss out on what's most important, which is knowing God in Christ Jesus and being people of faith and spiritual discernment. Our kids can have everything. But in the end, if they walk away from the Lord, they lose everything and they have nothing. Look at life from God's perspective. The spiritual eyes, spiritual discernment. And brothers, those of you who are married, don't be looking over at your wife right now. This is your and my responsibility. If you're a husband and a father, if you're in one of those roles, you and I know God has given us, He has placed us in the family with the responsibility of leading our wives and our children spiritually, of teaching them, of leading them, of modeling the Christian faith. This isn't something you need somebody's approval for. This is God's call upon your life and His order within the family for you to be that man, for me to be that man. This is my responsibility and yours that we will personally answer before the throne of God. Are we leading our families in the way of the Lord? What an awesome responsibility and a convicting one at the same time. How amazing that God allows us in that role to be able to model the faith and to raise up children and to lead families that are devoted to Jesus Christ. That's just one of the most exciting things that you can do. To raise up children of faith and to be a blessing to them. We have that responsibility to be men of prayer, men in the Word, men like Jeremiah and Nehemiah and Daniel who pour out their hearts to God in prayer. And how about David, who just is so intimate in his relationship with the Father that he says anything to the Father that's in his heart. And he says it in a way that's acceptable to God because it's said in faith. to be men who have that kind of intimacy with the Father, who open up the Word of God, who teach in our families and in our children, who really, truly do teach our kids about the Lord and about His ways. That's so important, to be men of prayer and men in the Word, and to model it in our families, to pray together as a family, to study the Word of God together as a family, to grow spiritually, for our wives and our children, for our brothers and sisters in Christ, to witness over time our growth, our spiritual growth in Jesus Christ, to be men and to be women who are humble, who are servants, who, like Jesus, will put the towel around your waist and get down on your knees and wash the feet, even as He did of the arrogant apostles who weren't about to have any of that. And then He walked the road to Calvary, giving His life for us. Real men. I'm not talking about the Hollywood version. Real men know that to truly be a man means to understand sacrifice and the submission of your ego, to be a servant to others, to be a servant to your wife and children, to be a servant in the world, to be a servant in the church. That's what real men of God do. They serve. Our older brother Jesus is the chief servant among us all. And we follow in those footsteps to be men who serve, men who wash feet, men who submit our own wills to the will of our Father and our Lord, to be servants in the kingdom, and men who persevere, who see it through to the end, who do not give up, like the Apostle Paul, who will just simply not give up, to be faithful to the very end, because that's what is important in our life, is the purposes of God and the kingdom of God, and for us as men to say, God, I am in. I'm all the way in. I will not stop. I will never quit. Men of God don't make excuses. Men of God don't complain and whine. Men of God serve, and they continue to serve, and we just don't quit. If everybody else quits, a man of God will not quit. Noah did not quit when the whole world had turned against God, but he stood firm with his family, and he led them forward in faith. That's what it means to be a man of God, men who will never give up, men filled with the Spirit of God and the power of God, who will serve until the Lord comes or calls us to be with Him. And I think of the heroes of faith that I've known in my life, so many. I could list 100 names. I think of Hugh Shira when I was at the church in Hawthorne, Truman Horton, Ralph Chase, Don Rouse. These names may not mean much to you, but they're some of my early heroes, men of the faith, Steve Green, Neil Edmondson, and then so many brothers in this church, Carl Hinman, Neil Williams, Larry McBride, Gil Butcher, John Cole, Phil Rampe, Jerry Butcher. These are men of faith. These are heroes. They're just men. I understand that. And I put my father in their number. And I'm so thankful for my father today, especially in looking back over my life. But I know, like the men I've just mentioned, my dad was just a man. He's just a man. My dad fell short. My dad was a sinner. My father needs a Savior, just as every single human being needs a Savior. I'll have to admit, I didn't see the fall very often, but I know he must have had his own struggles against sin. But how blessed my life has been because I had a father who bowed to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, who did his best, like these other men that I've mentioned, that just do your best to be a man of faith, to be a man of commitment, to be consistent, to persevere through everything, to be humble, to serve others, to give your life to others, to be men of prayer and the Word of God, just a simple servant, faithful to the end. That's what it means to be a man of God. And how I long to be that kind of man. Brothers, whether you have a wife or children, you are a brother. You are a son. You are an uncle. You are a father in the body of Christ. Every one of us has those kinds of relationships. And there are people that are looking to you They're people who were looking to me. They're young men growing up who look to us. We're saying, what does it mean to be a man of faith? What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? What does it mean to be a Christian? And we're the ones that they see. We may not even think about that very often, but believe you me, they see. Let us determine to be men of God, to continue to commit our lives, and to among each other, to build relationships with each other, so that we can encourage each other and be truly a band of brothers who work together and know each other, to open up our lives to each other as brothers in Christ, so we can even confess our shortcomings and sins to one another and be accountable to one another and build each other up in the body of Christ, to be active in that fellowship as brothers in the Lord. And it's going to look different in everyone's life, because we're at different ages and we're at different places in our spiritual walk, and we come from different backgrounds and experiences in life, and we have different talents and different personalities, and we look different and we have different temperaments, but we are all men of faith. We're all called to be men of God who answer that call. And the truth of the matter is this, that this church will be built up, and this congregation, this family will grow as the men of the body of Christ here will rise up to be the men that God has called for us to be. I pray that each one of us will just be refocused today, recommitted and dedicated to answering God's call on our life, to declare to our families, to declare to the church, to declare to the world, to declare to the Lord, and to say even into our own hearts, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We will serve Him. We will be men of God. Our sisters are with us. Our sisters are there by our side, working side by side in the kingdom of God. Let us be men of courage, be men of boldness and faith, and to declare our purpose of following the Lord and serving Him on this day when we think of our earthly fathers. As Rick said, above all, we think of our Heavenly Father and His call on our life. Let us today remember our Heavenly Father and commit ourselves to being the men of God that He has called us to be through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And if any need to respond to our Father for help in your life, come now as we stand, as we sing.